Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KLAO 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And, well, I love Mondays. Extremely busy this time of the year with Major League Baseball and college football and the NFL, everything that's happening. There's so much that we could recap from over the weekend. But we have a lot that we are going to talk about on the show today, including tonight's Monday night doubleheader beginning at 5:10 p.m., the New Orleans Saints will host the Houston Texans, and then at 8:20, you'll get the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. Live coverage of that game is scheduled to begin at 7:45 right here on KOAL. Brent Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy will bring you the play-by-play call. It's Oakland Raider football on KOAL. Week one of the NFL was exciting. You really never know what you were going to get. And I also can't stress this enough. Don't freak out if your team looked terrible yesterday, unless you're a Miami Dolphin fan. And if that is the case, well, you're probably in for a long season, but you knew you were in for a long season going in to yesterday's game to begin with. Right? This is the worst roster in the NFL. The Dolphins are going through a rebuilding phase because they have to. You know, no more 5-11, 6-10 seasons. Those aren't going to cut it. You've got to get out of the current mess you're in. And in order to do that, you have to strip it down bare bones, and that's what Miami is doing. Nobody could have predicted a 59-10 blowout. And I don't even think Lamar Jackson played that great. He just had big plays. And I watched that game, and I'm not looking at Lamar Jackson as if he's Patrick Mahomes. That Dolphins defense just allowed big plays. Offensively, they're not very good. But Baltimore Raven fans, in the same sense, while Dolphin fans have the right to overreact, you do not. Okay, calm down. Because even though the Cleveland Browns were thoroughly dominated by what I believe will be a pretty good Tennessee Titan team, they're going to be okay. Even though the Pittsburgh Steelers were dominated on national television last night by a very good New England Patriot team, they're still going to be okay. That division is definitely going to get interesting. I'm going to tell you the biggest surprise out of that division yesterday. For me, it was Cincinnati. The Bengals were right there with the Seattle Seahawks in a game that was very surprising. You want to take a look at quarterbacks that played well. Andy Dalton played well. He exceeded expectations. But it's week one. And for a lot of these individuals, they didn't play in the preseason. You know, I look at the Rams and the Panthers. It was a fun game. Carolina losing a home game that they probably should have won. The Rams looked a little rusty, and they probably, that's to be expected. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, you know, Robert Woods, Andrew Whitworth, these guys didn't play in the preseason. And there are a lot of teams that follow suit with the Rams. Sean McVay started this last season, and a lot of teams are following suit. If you're a Jets fan, you're probably down in the dumps. Look, Buffalo's a pretty good football team. Still should have won that game at home. The Detroit Lions, don't know how that happened. Matt Stafford had a couple of bonehead plays, and the defense let that Lions squad down. Kyler Murray was okay in the second half. Tampa Bay and San Francisco, if you watch this game, you know exactly what I mean when I say this. That game was awful. That was the worst game of the weekend outside of Miami and Baltimore. The amount of turnovers and stupid penalties in that game, it was mind-blowing. I believe there were 5 touchdowns called back in that game due to legitimate penalties. Week one, it's always entertaining. It really is. And I love the matchups tonight because the New Orleans Saints should be a contending team in the NFC. And I think the Houston Texans are ready to make that big step. Then you look at the second game of the doubleheader. I don't know what to make of this. The Raiders had such an exhausting weekend that I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders came out tonight, played loose, played crisp, played free, because that's what they are. They are free from Antonio Brown. Did you see the video over the weekend when Antonio Brown was looking at Twitter and the announcement came from Adam Schefter that he had been released and he took off running through his house and into the backyard cheering, "I'm free"? No. The Raiders are free. The Raiders organization is free from your childish, clown-like behavior. The Raider fans are free from having to turn on the TV and hearing about another idiotic move or statement that you have made. Unfortunately, the media isn't free from it because they're going to continue to report on this guy. But the Raiders and the Raider fans should have been jumping for joy. Look, Antonio Brown signs with the New England Patriots, and I believe going into the new CBA, something will be done about the way things were handled. But I don't even think Raider fans care that he went to New England. I really don't. I'll bet you, if you were to talk to 100 hardcore Raider fans, not a single one cares that this guy signed in New England. They all would say that they're happy he's no longer wearing the black and silver. That's what they would say. And I don't want to spend too much time on this topic. But let me say this. When talking to people about professional sports, you have this contingency that will always talk negatively about the professional ranks. They love college because they're amateurs. They hate professional sports because they're whiny millionaires. And I typically don't like that conversation because I don't agree when people tell me that. Well, now they will say Exhibit A, Antonio Brown. And that contingency that thinks that about professional sports, they now have a prime example. It's embarrassing. The NFL should be embarrassed by the way this guy acted and the fact that he will be representing their product next week in New England. They should be embarrassed by it. And that Twitter video of him reacting to being released from a team that was going to give him $30 million guaranteed put everything in perspective. Everything I thought about Antonio Brown was 100% confirmed in that 45-second video. That guy is a clown, and the Raider Nation should be excited that he's no longer a part of that franchise. That's all I'm going to talk about as far as Antonio Brown on the show today. We went over the schedule in the NFL again. Two night games tonight, doubleheader for Monday night action. We will talk more news and notes, especially on the injury front later on in the show. The Jacksonville Jaguars get off to a slow start. Nick Foles, their prized free agent signee this offseason, breaks his clavicle, and he's going to be out for quite some time. Goes on the IR. They are saying that Jacksonville expects him to be back at some point in time this season, but he does head to the IR. Not good news for the Jacksonville Jaguars at all. Let's move over to Major League Baseball. Plenty of action still going on there as we get down into the final 17, 18 games of the season. A couple of big games. The Atlanta Braves, who may be playing better than anyone in the bigs right now, will take on the Philadelphia Phillies. Start time for this contest is set for 5:05. We get the Diamondbacks at the Mets at 5:10. The Yankees and the Red Sox will battle at 5:10 as well. The Red Sox have no chance of getting into the playoffs at this point in time. I believe percentage-wise, it's 0.1%. They're done. The Milwaukee Brewers will take on the Miami Marlins. We get the Oakland A's and the Houston Astros at 6:10. 7:45, it's the Pirates and the Giants. The Indians will battle the Angels at 8:07. We'll talk about the Indians a little bit later on in the show, and also the Cubbies, who will take on the Padres tonight at 8:10. That's a quick look at what's happening in the local sports front. Busy show lined up. Locally, we're going to talk golf. The seasons are changing. Get out to the Carbon Country Club golf course. We'll talk about that when we return. A little Major League Baseball. It is Monday, so Bill Lasky will join us on the show, and we'll save the last segment of the day for some NFL football. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with a high school football scene, where this past Friday, the Carbon Dinos dominated the Judge Memorial Bulldogs 50-6 on the road to earn their first victory of the season. The Dinos were led by senior standout Jalen Dennis, who scored four touchdowns in the contest. Dennis returned a kick 90 yards for a touchdown, a punt 50 yards for a touchdown, an interception 60 yards for a score, and also took one rushing touchdown in from 12 yards out. Outside of Jalen Dennis's dominating performance, the Dinos were led offensively by Tyler Wright. Making his first start at quarterback, he completed all six of his passes for 92 yards and a touchdown. As a team, the Dinos were dominant. They put 288 yards of total offense together while holding the Bulldogs to just 144. Carbon had 17 first downs, and they also averaged 12 yards per pass throughout the evening. Following the victory on KRPX, we caught up with Carbon High School football coach Josh Huntsman, who gave all the credit to the offense and defensive line.
We didn't have any bad snaps from our center, and so it really helps you when you're playing on time, you know, and on down. And so our kids did a fantastic job up front. They were blocking well, you know, clean pocket to throw in, clean running lanes. You know, I can't say enough about that front five. You know, you give out game balls, you give it to that whole front five.
Now 1-2 on the season, the Dinos will finally play host to a home game when they welcome in the Union Cougars. That'll take place this Friday. Kickoff is scheduled for 7 p.m., but live coverage will begin on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, beginning at 6:20. We move over to junior college athletics, and it was a very busy weekend for the USU Eastern women's volleyball team as they traveled on the road to Twin Falls, Idaho, and the Lady Eagles had another successful road trip, finishing 3-1, picking up straight-set victories over Missouri State University, Laramie County Community College, and Casper College. The weekend came to an end with a 5-set setback against Miami-Dade College. Now, the Lady Eagles will most certainly be ranked in the top 20 when the latest rankings come out. They have soared to the top in several statistical categories throughout the country. They currently hold a record of 13-3 overall, and that includes an 11-3 record at neutral sites and 1-0 on the road. The Lady Eagles will continue what has been a very busy non-conference schedule. They'll return to the court this Friday with a road trip to Sterling, Colorado, where they will play four games in 2 days. We stick with USU Eastern, but we move over to soccer, and the Lady Eagles remain unbeaten on the season as they picked up a 3-0 win over Otero Junior College this past Friday on the road in Henderson, Nevada. It was the second consecutive weekend that the Lady Eagles traveled on the road to Henderson. They were led in the contest by Claire Bowman, Ashley Brindley, and Morgan Cragen, all of which scored one goal. USU Eastern has been dominant so far this season. In fact, in all five games, they have yet to give up a single goal, outscoring their opponents by a total of 12-0 in the five games. The Lady Eagles will now prepare for Scenic West Athletic Conference action, which will open up this Thursday on the road against Salt Lake Community College. And we end by moving over to high school baseball, where this past Friday, the Pinnacle Panthers suffered a 13-4 loss to Valley at home, dipping Pinnacle's overall record on the season to 3-10. So far, the Panthers have yet to pick up a win in region play. They sit at 0-7, but they'll have another opportunity when they return to the baseball diamond at home this Wednesday against Panguitch. Start time for that contest is set for 3 p.m. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM, KOAL.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's a Monday edition of the show right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're going to talk local sports. The weather is starting to change a little bit. In fact, later on this week, we're going to see highs into the upper 60s. Fall is in the air, and that's a great time to get out and play a round of golf. Joining us right now to talk about what's happening at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course, we have Tom King, the club pro at the course itself. TK, it's always a pleasure to get you on. It's been far too long.
Yeah, Jordan, thanks for having me once again. It's been a while since I've been on air.
Yeah, it has. You've been away from the high school golf scene from the last couple of seasons, but I know that you still have involvement with it as well, though.
Yeah, you know, the coach, Brett Johnson, works for me, and so I see the kids every day, and it's I help him out when I can or what I can do, give him my ideas. It's fun to watch these kids play, and they're still doing well. They're not as dominant as they used to be, but I think they will be. It hurts losing a couple players, but the Bodie Salas kid is going to be a good player, and Brett's doing a good job.
Yeah, when I see the scores come in for Bodie, and in talking to Coach Johnson about Bodie, boy, he's a unique talent, only a freshman, and he's at the top of the individual leaderboard, it seems like, week in and week out.
He is. You know, it was just like Kevin Riker when Riker was a freshman. Bodie could be probably better than Riker. Bodie has a great work ethic. He's a good player. He's pretty solid right now. So a little disappointed in his early rounds of golf. I know he is, too. His rounds could have been a little bit better. But the last little bit, he's played pretty good. And this week, they've got their home match, so that's a good thing for them.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Having that home match right before you get into the state tournament, it's always a positive. But outside of the high school golf, I know there is a lot going on right now at the golf course. As summer kind of trickles down, maybe people stay away a little bit more from the golf course. But you and I were talking off of the cuff, and that might not be the right approach. The golf course has never looked better than right now.
Yeah, this year has probably been the best year for the golf course. You know, we had a late opening in the spring and a lot of snow, a lot of moisture, so it's made the golf course perfect. This time of year, it just gets better and better. We aerified greens a couple weeks ago. They've healed up. The golf course is getting mowed every day, and it's growing well every day. It seems like once school starts and hunting season starts, people tend to not play as much golf, and the golf course is absolutely perfect. It's better to play now than it is during the spring or the summer. It's good until the leaves start falling. Once the leaves start falling, it gets a little bit harder to find golf balls if you hit them astray. But the golf course is so good the fall time. It's probably the best time to play golf in the Carbon County area.
Well, let's talk about a couple of promos that you are offering right now to those who want to come out and play at the Country Club Golf Course or maybe give it a try for the first time. The first promo you have, it's a bounce back where you can actually play 27 holes of golf for $45.
Yeah, so we've done different fall finishes over the years, and we were going to try this one. So if you come out and play 18 holes with a cart, pay your 18-hole green fee with your cart, you can come back and play another 9 holes later that day for $5, which turns out to be a great deal. So you might as well spend a day out of it. It's just come out, play some golf, have lunch when you're done, and then go out and play 9 more holes, or heck, play another 18 for $10.
Listen, we'll get to the second promo in a moment, but as you said, stop and eat lunch. I've been paying attention to what you guys have for lunch and the food that you guys have in the snack shop. But pretty outstanding stuff.
Yeah, we're known for our burgers. You know, golf courses always have good burgers, and we have great burgers. The lunch is always good at the snack bar, and then, you know, there's a couple days a week that you can even go over to the Country Club if that's open. That's open Wednesday through Friday from 11 till 2 for lunch as well.
And you guys had nachos at one point in time this year too, right?
We do a lot of different specials. Yeah. Chef John Roten does a lot of different things, and he works on Mondays at the snack bar, and he makes up all kinds of specials.
So again, this is at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course. Again, the first promo going on right now, bounce back. Come in, play 18 holes of golf for $40. You can come back later in the day and play 9 more for $5 or play 18 more for just $10. TK, there's another promo that you guys are offering right now. This is exclusive to Saturdays.
So we used to do discount Sundays. It seems like Sundays are busier right now than they have been, especially in the afternoons, and our Saturday afternoons have been pretty slow. So, yeah, if you come out and play after 2 o'clock on Saturday, you can play 9 holes with cart for $15 or 18 with cart for $30. So that saves you a little bit of money, especially when our typical price is $20.50 for 9 or $41 for 18. So it's a good deal, and you should just come out and play golf, especially on Saturday afternoons if you're not doing much, especially you bow hunters out there. If you've already bagged, come out and play golf.
You know, I'm going to let you toot your guys' own horn here for a moment, because anyone that I talk to will say this is one of the nicest golf courses in the state of Utah. And so with that being said, to get out and play 9 holes for $15 with a cart, that's unheard of.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. I mean, we just need to get some people out on the golf course, keep it busy as we can, and have people enjoy one of the best kept secrets in the state. And, you know, when we get people coming down from Salt Lake, they can't believe how good this golf course is. And us as locals are pretty fortunate to have this good of a golf course. And so come out and enjoy it, especially this time of the year. As the weather cools down and it gets better, obviously it starts getting darker a little sooner, but you can get out and play some good golf and still enjoy your rounds of golf out there at the golf course.
Yeah, I had a friend come down from California this year, and I took him out to the golf course, and I told him, I said, it was on me, and he said, well, how much did it cost? And I told him, and he said, are you serious?
Yeah, most places, you know, a golf course like this in a big city market would be $80-$90 a round for 18 holes with cart, and you know, we're at that $40 range, so we're really priced right. But it seems like we need to get some more enticing out there, so get people out. So that's why we're offering these deals right now.
Again, we're being joined right now by Tom King, again, of the Carbon Country Club Golf Course. I know you guys have some other events that are up and coming. The Bob Hanson Memorial, that is actually full for this weekend.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a new tournament this year. Steve Bullard was going to try to put that together, and he's done a good job getting a bunch of teams. And that funds will go back to the Bob Hanson family. Unfortunately, they lost Bob last year, and so they're just trying to raise some money for them. We just had the Colt Country Classic. We've had a lot of good tournaments, and this time of year we kind of start slowing down. The last few tournaments we have locally are just our club championship, our men's association championship, stuff like that. But another one coming up is the Monster Scramble, and that'll be towards the end of October, where we try to make the golf courses crazy or difficult as possible. We put the tees in weird spots, the pins in very bad spots, reducers. We try to make it as difficult as possible, and it's kind of a fun day as well. So that's coming up, and then we will have a turkey shoot coming up in November sometime. You can call the pro shop for more information for those tournaments.
Talk to me about the turkey shoot. I'm familiar with the Halloween tournament, but the turkey shoot.
So the turkey shoot was new last year. It's a one-man scramble. What we did, though, we put a little twist in it. You can go out and shoot five clay pigeons, and if you got those, if you were able to hit those, you could take off five shots off your score as well as just your regular handicap. So it's a one-man scramble, one-person scramble, and then we have a little twist. We also are going to try to do a Birds and Birdies event, which is a two-man Chicago event. Have lunch after that, and then you go up to the Helper Gun Range and do team trap shooting. So that'll be a fun tournament.
Now, while you still have a couple of tournaments up and coming in the next few weeks, it's probably relaxing at this point in time because you guys had a tournament literally every weekend, and that's kind of the norm in the summer.
It is. You know, this time of year, it's high school golf as well, so we do have some high school golf tournaments where Carbon's playing their home match. We host a couple non-region matches. So the golf course is still busy, but it's kind of nice to have not as many tournaments every weekend. It kind of slows us down a little bit. But unfortunately, tournaments are where we make some money and pay the bills, and we need to pay those bills and have people come out and play golf and help us keep this golf course in great shape.
No doubt. TK, before I let you go, let's go over the two promos that you guys have going on right now with the golf course.
Okay, again, it's the bounce back. So you can come out and play any day, play 18 holes with a cart. For $40, you can bounce back and play another nine holes with a cart for $5. Also, discount Sundays after 2 o'clock. You can play nine holes with cart for $15 or 18 for $30. And one last thing, we don't have it on this list, Jordan, but we've also done Twilight Tuesdays. So after every Tuesday, the seniors or the fog come out and play golf. And so if you come out and play after them at 1 o'clock, you can get that same rate as on Saturdays. So it's $15 for nine holes and $30 for 18 holes.
Yeah, no reason to not get out and enjoy some golf at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course. TK, it is always fun to get you in. I appreciate you stopping by, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Again, that's Tom King, again, the club pro at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course, talking about some of the great deals going on right now. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll move over to talk Major League Baseball, and we have some NFL football talk coming up as well. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep to left field. Way, way back. It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's time for Monday Baseball Talk here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios, and of course, every Monday, we talk with our great friend Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher, who now serves as an analyst for the Giants and also the Sacramento RiverCats. Bill, it's a pleasure to get you back on as we get down to the twilight of the regular season. I know AAA baseball ended here in the state of Utah a couple of weeks back, a week or so ago, actually, and I know you're winding down as well as far as your busy schedule.
Yeah, the RiverCats, they won their first round of games against Las Vegas. Now they play for the PCL Championship against Round Rock, which is the Astros AAA team, best of five. So that's really interesting for RiverCats. They haven't done that since 1981. So they're pretty excited in Sacramento. And they were down in that series 2-1, ended up rallying and winning the last two to take that best of five in Vegas. So that was fun for them. a lot of the players now, of course, have come up to the Giants big league team, and now more or less the Richmond Squirrels, the double-A team, fill that roster. But still, what it's good about is you're getting opportunities for some younger guys to get in that playoff mode. As we start talking about the big leagues, that's what's going to happen here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, Bill, let me ask you this. For someone that hangs around the AAA ranks as often as you do, so closely affiliated with the Rivercats, do organizations care about minor league championships?
No, I don't believe so at all. And I tell you why, because September 1, the Giants called up four of the main players. Before September 1, they called four more up. So they really took eight players off this team. And, of course, the substitutions had to come to double-A ranks to fill them. But same thing happened to Las Vegas. Las Vegas lost six guys. And in a way, I understand it. It's a business, and that's what they're trying to do, develop players to get to the big leagues and get them a good month of September. But the other side, I feel sorry for the Sacramento fans, the Las Vegas fans, that have been following these two teams all the way to championship mode. And then all of a sudden you're like, who are these guys? Because you don't remember or even know half of them. And it's a business. That's where the end game is. And they just have to push forward. And that's what the Giants are doing. And just like I said, it's a great learning experience for those guys from AA to get a little of the AAA flavor.
Again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky. Bill, let's move over. Let's talk Major League Baseball, and I want to begin in the National League, where things, for the most part, seem like they have settled, although the Atlanta Braves, and you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I thought there was a chance that the Braves could actually press the Dodgers. The Braves have won 9 out of their last 10. The Dodgers have been playing 500 baseball. Lo and behold, we get down under 20 games. The Braves are just 4 wins back of L.A.
I agree with you. I'll even go farther than that. 17-3 in their last 20, and they have been playing sensational baseball. I love what they're doing to Josh Donaldson, the bringer of rain with the umbrella. I think that's uniting that team. It gives the fans a little bit more fun to do in the stands with umbrellas. The Braves are playing outstanding baseball, and I tip my hat to Mark Melancon, who's really been their closer. He's been pitching really well since he came over from the Giants. And this team has beat the Dodgers. They've beaten some of the top teams in each division and are opening that with against Washington. And can't say nothing about Washington. The Nationals have been playing good baseball, too.
That's another team that beat the Dodgers a couple of times out as well in the Nationals. And I think you're absolutely right, playing great baseball. We know that two playoff spots will go to the National League East. I don't care what you can throw any scenario you want out. I don't think it matters, Bill, and I'm sure you would agree. The Braves and the Nationals are going to the playoffs, which really leaves one playoff spot up for grabs. And I can't believe that we are talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks being just a game back in the win column of the Chicago Cubs for that final playoff spot. This is a Diamondback team that I thought should have been sellers a long time ago. They move on from Greinke at the deadline. Greinke hasn't pitched overly well, I guess we could say, in Houston, but the Diamondbacks have played a lot better since they shipped him out.
They sure have, and they're exciting. They're exciting to watch, and they've been playing real good baseball. They got hot at the right time. They have the easiest schedule the month of September when you start looking at who they're playing and where they're going. They're playing the Mets for a real, I think it's a 3 or 4 game series is starting tonight. But after that, they play Miami. They play some really teams that aren't even in the mix. And when you start looking at their schedule compared to some of these other wild card contenders, all they have to do is play a little over 500. They should be able to make it. And wouldn't that be a surprise of all the wild card teams when we're looking at Philadelphia, the Mets, even the Cubs and the Giants at one time, and now Arizona's kind of slicing through all of them, and they're trying to get to the Cubs, and the Cubs haven't been playing that good of baseball.
No, they haven't been playing that great of baseball. When you talk about the schedule, the Cubs will have to play the Cardinals 7 times. The Diamondbacks have to play the Cardinals 4 times. Those are the only two. That's the only team remaining on either team's schedule that would be in the playoff scenario, that would be in the playoff chase. And so really, when you look at it, the Cubs with 7 against the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks with 4 against the Cardinals. If the Diamondbacks can find a way to take 3 of 4 from the Cardinals, I think they have a great chance of knocking Chicago out.
I agree. I watched the Giants play the Cardinals this past week in 4 games, and that starting staff with Flaherty, he is just dynamic. Wainwright threw the ball real well. They do have a couple really good young starters. And you start looking at the Cardinals, they're scoring runs. Carpenter's coming back. He's healthy. But they are the top of the iceberg right now. I don't think you're going to catch the Cardinals. And I think the Cardinals will win that division. And then what comes next? It's going to go down to that last week, I really believe. Washington's playing enough to get in the wild card, but that last piece of the wild card is going to be who's hot in the last 10 days of that season.
Yeah, definitely. I agree 100%. And again, the Cardinals are going to be the massive X factor as they have, I believe, 11 games, if I'm not mistaken, against either the Diamondbacks or the Cubs, and that really could determine who grabs that final wild card spot in the National League. Although the Brewers did help their cause, Bill, by taking 3 of 4 from the Cubs.
They did, and they're only 2 back. I mean, we can't count anybody out right now unless you got an E by your name, which means eliminated. But I just think that they're going to be kicking each other because they're playing each other so much. And that's what makes Arizona a possibility to kind of slide in there. The Giants went down, saw the Dodgers this past weekend, took 2 out of 3 from them. And just a fantastic game Saturday where they beat them 1-0. And it was all AAA pitchers that pitched that game. So it's interesting. The Dodgers, you know, they're cooled off. There's no doubt about it. Their big question mark is Kenley Jansen. They really feel that he is not up to par, that he isn't pitching that great. And you're going to see some different people in that bullpen come playoff time.
Yeah, let me ask you this about the Dodgers. And I always feel like this is probably the risk in jumping out to a 20-game lead in the division. Have they cooled off, or are they playing complacent and resting? I mean, which way do you take that?
I think both ways. I really do. I don't think it's one or the other. With that big of a lead, they were playing the Dodgers. They were mixing and matching. They took Kershaw out for 4 innings. He was pitching okay. I just think complacent at some part. But again, I don't think that flavor of let's get this done, let's clinch this thing is sound in every Dodger right now. I think they're going to start playing a little bit better teams coming up here. They got a couple. They're going to Baltimore starting tomorrow, so they should be able to start kicking in here the last couple weeks to win the division and then start setting up that rotation the way they want it.
Again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky, former major league pitcher who spent his time with the San Francisco Giants and now works as an analyst for the Giants and also the Sacramento Rivercats. Bill, let's move over to the American League, and we'll talk about the Boston Red Sox. Biggest surprise of the season, I don't think there's any doubt. The Red Sox will not be going to the postseason. And they also have fired their president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski. They did that yesterday, 1 year after they win the World Series. Does that surprise you at all?
It did at first, and then I read a couple articles this morning, and he wanted an extension. He said, I want to be here for more than a couple years, and I think that was what led them to say, you know what, we're not going the right direction with him, even though we won the World Series last year. There wasn't that many moves at the All-Star break and after for the trade deadline. There really wasn't any urgency. And that team, talk about playing complacent, I really think they did the whole first half. And then now they're in that anxious mood. Are we going to make a run here? I'm with you. I don't think they're even going to come close to that wild card position. Tampa Bay's solid. Oakland A's are solid. Those are your 2 top teams. Surprised, yes. I thought the Red Sox would play a lot better this year.
Now, as far as Dombrowski goes, I'll tell you one of the things that's a little disheartening. I felt like he has embraced the World Series or bust type mentality in Boston. I mean, when you take a look at the fact he went out and he grabbed Cora, he made trades for Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrell, he went out and he signed J.D. Martinez, he grabbed David Price. Bill, he really went all in for a World Series championship, and he got one. I mean, he took the job in 2015. Some organizations don't win a World Series ever. He won 1 in 4 years by embracing the type of attitude that they want to portray in Boston. I kind of feel like he got a raw deal.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I just think he did exactly what they wanted him to do last year. But again, it's what are you doing for me now? And, you know, the Red Sox fans are disappointed. They're 17 games out. The Yankees kind of came in there and beat them up pretty good over the past weekend. I just think that urgency, like I said, has left the Red Sox. And And Cora just hasn't been instilled that we need to start winning. And Red Sox fans, they're used to that contender. They're used to being playoff baseball. And this year, they're not going to be that way. And when you look at all the Boston papers today, the Patriots were on the front page and the Red Sox are on the back page. So you can see how it's changed fan base right now.
I will stick with the AL, and we can end with this particular topic, Bill. Over the weekend, if you weren't paying attention, the Oakland A's have taken over that final wild card spot in the American League. They now have a better record than the Cleveland Indians. The Indians, at one point in time, we thought they were going to run down the Twins in the Central, but for whatever reason, that has not come to fruition. As it sits right now, the Oakland A's would be in the playoffs. The Indians would be on the outside looking in. And guess what? The Tampa Bay Rays, who have now won 9 out of 10 and 5 straight, still hold a spot in the American League.
Yeah, I think Houston. Well, Oakland A's are in Houston starting tonight. That should be a pretty good series. Oh, Houston's just so loaded. Garrett Cole has just been so good. Just carved up the Mariners, and you got Verlander who threw a no hitter this past week. Wade Miley is throwing a ball well. Grinke's kind of like the fourth man of that rotation right now. We'll see where that ends. But I just think their offense is just one after another. They could rest guys, and the next guy coming in is so strong. I think the Astros and the Yankees will probably be in that finals in the American League to see who's going to go to the World Series. I think those are probably your two top teams.
Bill Lasky, again, former Major League pitcher, spent his time with the Giants, now an analyst for the sport of baseball. Bill, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, at Lasky 19 on Twitter, just finishing up some radio. We have the Braves at the 21st and then the Dodgers the 28th. A couple radio shows left and just finishing out the year there. And Giants are using a lot of young players right now, so anxious to see how these guys are going to do the month of September and finishing out the baseball season like you and I do every Monday. And seeing how these divisions come to fashion as the season progresses. We only got about 20 games left, a little less than that. And a lot of the divisions are pretty much set. And the wild card is really up to grabs. So we'll see how this next week comes and see if there's any teams that fall out of the race, as well as to see what team's going to get hot.
It's definitely going to be fun down the stretch. Bill Lasky, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much for taking out the time, and I look forward to doing it again next Monday.
Excellent. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
We'll break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return tonight here on KOAL. The Raiders will take on the Broncos. Live coverage of that game will begin at 7:45. But we'll talk week one, a few surprises from yesterday when we return right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back to close out this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. Travis, we're going to close this out by talking NFL football. Again, coming up tonight, 7:45, we get the Broncos and the Raiders. I'm curious about this game. A lot of storylines. First game with Vic Fangio patrolling the sidelines. The Broncos had 5 preseason games. The Joe Flacco era is underway. If you're a Bronco fan, out of the backfield, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Devontae Booker. I mean, you have options coming out of the backfield. I think that the Broncos could be a surprise team in the AFC. Now, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying that.
They're going to be competitive. They'll compete.
But when you go to Denver, that's a tough out to begin with. And defensively, they are going to be that good as to where I think Denver's a team that can hover around that 8-9 win mark this season. I really do.
No, I agree with you. I think Denver's a team that can win anywhere from 7 to 9 games. Offensively, they're very good. That's the defensive side of the football where they've got to be better than they were a year ago.
I love what they have as far as Chubb and Miller.
Those are two good defensive players. So, yeah, it's going to come down to can the Broncos. We know they're going to win home games, and they're going to win their home games. It's what they do on the road.
6-2, 5-3 at home.
Yeah, and that's what you want. And sure. Now you got to be 5 wins on the road.
Vic Fangio has been waiting 40 years to be a head football coach. He's finally got that opportunity. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. On the flip side, you have the Raiders, lame duck season in Oakland. Of course, they're playing host to the Broncos tonight, the Antonio Brown saga. I'm so tired of hearing it, so tired of talking about it. Now, if you're the Raiders, you just want to play football. And if you're a Raider fan, this has been a ridiculous offseason. It's an opportunity for the Raiders to go out, and I don't want to even say silence the critics, because I think people genuinely feel bad for this organization right now.
Yeah, it's just not been a good offseason. John Gruden coming in once again. What is his second year, right? Came back last year. Is this his second year? Yep. So second year at the helm with the Raiders. Like you said, lame duck season. That is the one thing to keep your eye on. Will the fans come out and support this team, knowing that at the end of the year, they're gone?
You know what the Raiders have in their corner when it comes to that? They are a brand that's nationwide.
They are, yeah.
And that's one thing that helps.
They travel well.
They do. You know, you go back most recently, you look at the Rams in St. Louis. The Rams, they're not a nationwide brand. I don't feel that way with the Chargers. You go back to the Oilers in 95 or 96, whenever it was. Same differences. They're not a national brand. The Raiders are. As long as the Raiders are somewhat competitive, I do believe that Oakland will continue to support them. Plus, they have that L.A. market now. They have the L.A. market. There are three teams in that L.A. market. It goes Rams, Raiders, and Chargers. That's the order it goes in. Las Vegas is absolutely, an extension of that L.A. market. So that's the second game. First game tonight, New Orleans, Houston. 5:10 start time. The Texans go out. Laremy Tunsil, the new left tackle for this team. They tried to beef up some help up front. Deshaun Watson. I love what they have in Duke Johnson. I think he's a really curious player, especially for those who get into fantasy football. I like tonight's matchup. I really do. And I also believe it's the last opening day game for Drew Brees. I don't think we ever see this guy play week one in the NFL again. I'm saying this is his swan song. I think his contract is designed for this to be his swan song. I'm looking forward to both games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how New Orleans defensively plans for Deshaun Watson, because not only with his arm, but you got to be aware that this guy can tuck the ball and run down the field. And defensively, towards the end of last season, the Saints, they weren't very good defensively.
No, they weren't. And as far as the offense goes,
it sputtered.
It did sputter.
They're lucky they got past Philadelphia, to be honest with you.
They are. Really, if you paid attention to Drew Brees, you saw a significant drop-off over the final month or so of the season. Actually, it began when Dallas stifled New Orleans last year. You remember that?
Yeah.
I don't think the offense has looked the same ever since. So, again, two very interesting games tonight. That Texans-Saints game is getting ready to kick off here in about, 15, 20 minutes or so. And then again tonight, Broncos-Raiders live coverage will begin on KOAL at 7:45. With that being said, Travis, we'll have plenty of time to talk week one on the show tomorrow, but I want your biggest surprise week one. What was the biggest surprise for you?
I think the biggest surprise is, I'm going to say Tennessee-Cleveland, because I haven't been high on Cleveland all year, and a lot of pundits out there were picking the Browns to make a deep run, and it's not shocking what Tennessee did. So I think it was a surprise that, you know, the way that Baker Mayfield kind of self-destructed there in the fourth quarter.
I mean, really, if you paid attention to this game, it was competitive going into the fourth, and you just kept waiting for Cleveland to get things off and rolling offensively. And for whatever reason, it never happened.
They have problems on the offensive line. They did not address that issue in the offseason.
They got worse on the offensive line. You know, they made the trade for Olivia Vernon. They did get worse up front on the offensive side of the football. But I'm not, you know, again, if I'm a Browns fan, I'm not panicking today. All right, a lot of turnover. The secondary maybe could be a little bit of a concern. Obviously, Jabril Peppers isn't floating around back there anymore. But it's week one. Don't overreact if you're a Browns fan. Now, with that being said, for me, I had a couple of surprises. One being the Atlanta Falcons. And, time will tell. Does this have more to do with the Minnesota Vikings? Because Matt Ryan, I thought, played well yesterday. 33 of 46, 300-plus yards, a couple of touchdowns. But I thought Dalvin Cook was amazing yesterday for the Vikings. And I expected a big improvement from the Falcons' defense. They had injury issues last season. I expected a tad bit more from Atlanta, but I thought Minnesota looked very good. So that's something to keep a watch on, okay? The other game that wasn't necessarily a surprise to me, well, there was two of them. First off, Buffalo beating the Jets was not a huge surprise to me because I think the Bills are much improved.
It's a choke job at its finest. Choke job at its finest.
But they're a good team. They didn't lose. And I get what you're saying. If you're a Jets fan, you're upset.
You have
today
to close it out. You're up 16-0.
I agree with that. But the Bills are I think that's a quality football team. I'm not saying they're world beaters by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's a good football team. And the other game, and I don't know why people have been writing off the Indianapolis Colts.
Well,
I don't quite get that. Marlon Mack is extremely legit.
Brissett's a good quarterback.
Brissett is more than capable. T.Y. Hilton still has a little bit left in the tank. And you have Eric Ebron as well, who led the NFL in receiving touchdowns.
They outplayed the Chargers.
They did outplay
the Chargers. The Chargers got lucky. The Chargers squeaked it out. They got lucky. I'm sorry, Vinny. They got lucky.
Well, look, any Charger fan would tell you that. I mean, it went into overtime. The Colts had every opportunity to win this football game. But nonetheless, the Colts, I'm not saying it's a huge surprise, but to many, it probably was a surprise that this team was competitive yesterday. As I mentioned during the intro to the show, the 49er-Buccaneer game yesterday was atrocious. Both of those teams could use another preseason game or two. But the big takeaway in that game was Jameis Winston.
He is who he is. Well, at this point, you're not going to change that guy. He is not a good quarterback in this league. And Tampa Bay's got to bite the bullet and move on.
Well, what's your definition of a good quarterback?
All right. Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Jacoby Brissett? Would you rather have, you can go down the list. Would you rather have Josh Allen or would you rather have Jameis Winston? I'm taking Josh Allen.
I think you can. Well, I mean, for one season, I think you can make a fair argument.
Long term,
I'm taking Josh Allen. I'm probably taking Jacoby Brissett as well. Let me throw this one at you. Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Matt Stafford?
I would rather have Matt Stafford. Because I think if you put weapons around Stafford...
Well, if you put weapons around any NFL quarterback, they should succeed. I mean, they're professional quarterbacks. The 7.5 billion people are walking planet Earth right now. And we have a hard time finding five elite quarterbacks. Okay, so if you put weapons around any quarterback, they should succeed. I think weapons
mask. But Winston has weapons around him.
Yeah, I think he does. I agree. Okay, that's a fair point because he does, and he made a couple of plays yesterday. That last pick six that he threw was insanely terrible. It was a screen pass, a design screen pass. I don't know where he was throwing that football. It was just bad. So this may be the last year for Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. Don't forget, those rookie scale contracts, you can get out of that. No harm, no foul. But I tell you what, I enjoyed week one. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was good. I enjoy Arizona-Detroit.
Yeah, it was some bad football, but it was good bad football.
Yeah, it was down the stretch. Kyler Murray trying to make some plays. It was nice to see.
Out of time on this edition of the show. Do not forget Oakland Raider football coming up at 7:45 tonight. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.